Every Monday afternoon, a group of us, mostly from this service, meet at Jake's on Spring Gardens. And I've been told that it all started when this gathering was temporarily out of service. But you know, having joined them many, many times, I have to say I really think it has much more to do with the fact that beer's half price. Now, the Monday after one of our Sunday interim meetings that we've recently had, one of the regulars at Jake's, at our gathering, said that he had thought a lot about that interim meeting and a lot about the things that had been said there. And in general, he seemed to be really quite pleased with everything, but he said upon reflection, he felt some regret that one thing had not been mentioned at the meeting. Now, he went on to say that this one thing was essential in moving forward together as a spiritual community. And it would aid us, ultimately, in no longer being stuck in the past, and it would help us resolve some relationships that had been damaged over the past years. And after hearing his perspective, I have to say I very much was in agreement with him. As a matter of fact, while this service, as you look around, you can tell, is just a beautiful blend of people from many spiritual perspectives, the reality is we are still a Christian church. And that one thing that he spoke of, that he was talking about, is actually a cornerstone of Christian tradition and of Christian practice. As a matter of fact, it's actually an important practice among many religions. Our Jewish brothers and sisters actually have an entire holiday formed around it, Yom Kippur, the Jewish holiday of atonement and forgiveness. It's actually not just a holiday. Yom Kippur is the highest holy day of the year, or holy celebration of the year for Judaism. And I'd like to actually share just a quick, tiny little parable from the Jewish tradition that points to sort of a best practices of forgiveness and how it works in to help heal relationships. According to a Hasidic parable, a king begins to quarrel with his son. And in a fit of rage, he exiles his son from the kingdom. And after a number of years, the king's heart softens and he sends one of his ministers out to find his son and ask him to come home. But the young man kind of resists the invitation. He basically feels too bitter to be returning. So when the ministers come back and they present the sad news to the king, he sends them out again with a new message for his son. This message says, "Return as far as you can, and I will come the rest of the way to meet you." The king in the story did not have the false notion that sending back a word of apology, saying I'm sorry, could itself somehow heal that broken relationship. Nor did he send his ministers out again and request for forgiveness. Say, your father's sorry, and he requests that you forgive him. The king performed his apology and remorse by letting his son know that he, the king, was prepared to travel as long as needed in order to heal their relationship. The reality is, forgiveness would not only help with many of the issues that we are dealing with here, but it also comes with some pretty remarkable benefits beyond that. When you forgive somebody, you make a choice. You make a choice to give up your desire for revenge and feelings of resentment. You also stop judging the person who caused the hurt. And instead of revenge and resentment and judgment, you show generosity and compassion and kindness. In forgiveness, you don't forget that the offense occurred and you don't excuse it. You just substitute your negative with positive feelings, thoughts, behaviors. Recent research on health benefits of forgiveness shows that people who can make this sort of mental shift may actually benefit in ways that they didn't expect, namely by living longer. In a study aptly called Forgive to Live, psychologists investigated the relationship among forgiveness, religion, spirituality, health, and mortality in the U.S. And after setting up controls for religiosity and social class and health-related behaviors like smoking or drinking, the one quality of forgiveness that predicted mortality was conditional forgiveness of others. People who are high on the scale of conditional forgiveness, meaning that they will only forgive under certain conditional terms, died before the people who scored lower on the measure. It's not hard to then wonder, why would the inability to forgive others without an apology or a promise or a change predict an earlier death? Well, when the authors looked into that question, they suggested that people who make demands for forgiveness actually still continue to harbor resentment and grudges, which are emotions that can impair the heart's condition. Constantly nursing negative thoughts keeps your stress levels high, and it's that stress that typically results in an earlier death. There's also another problem, though, with conditional forgiveness. It requires some sort of response from the person who has wronged you. So, if that person is no longer around or no longer in contact with you, it will be impossible for you both to communicate and to receive the needed forgiveness. And to me, it seems to suggest that a healthier approach to forgiveness is to forgive without the condition of an apology. Now, that's just the most recent study that I was aware of. Other research on forgiveness showed that forgiveness is positively associated with better health of the heart, hormones, immune system. There's also psychological benefits of forgiveness. People who forgive more readily are less likely to be depressed and anxious and more likely to be happy. The reality is these physical and psychological health benefits of forgiveness, they could all be key in predicting a longer life. So, it would seem that if you want to benefit, if you would like to benefit from the life-extending benefits of forgiveness, as well as all of the other benefits I mentioned, we really need to figure out how to do it without requiring something on the part of the person whom you're forgiving. The question, though, is how? Well, I'm going to back up just a little bit to answer that question. If you're truly going to get over being wronged, at least in terms of how you saw the situation, and if you ever hope to truly reap the health benefits, you really do have to figure out how to forgive someone. Here's the thing, though. After quite a bit of thought and a lot of research on the topic, I think we have to go further than forgiving them. You see, if you step back and really analyze it, forgiving is a bit of a condescending thing to do. I know that seems a bit counterintuitive, but stick with me for just a few minutes here. In order to forgive someone, you obviously have to feel like someone has wronged you. That alone is problematic in two ways. One, it assumes that you have a bit of moral superiority over the person. And two, it assumes, and this is a big assumption, it assumes that if you had been them, you would not have done the same thing. It's very seldom that someone wrongs us whose history we are actually intimately familiar with. And even then, it's impossible to have experienced their history in the way that they experienced it. It's even more difficult to understand how that experience impacted their personal perspective and outlook. I think it would be helpful if we consider that our hurts and wrongs might not have been done to us deliberately, but instead that they're derived from the other person's own personal hurts and issues. I can't help but believe that understanding could liberate us from the negative feelings that may be keeping us stuck in the past. And that's the point of the title of my talk, More Important Than Forgiveness. As I mentioned, for me, forgiveness is a practice that implies a certain amount of moral superiority, or at the very least, condescension. I'm not saying that we are being intentionally those things. Rather, I'm simply saying that we rarely take into consideration that if we had experienced life the way that they had experienced life, we might have handled that moment in question in a similar way. I can't help but think that the trick is to access the more benevolent, gracious, and humane sides of our being and become more compassionate about the suffering of those who caused us to suffer. And that is the thing that's more important than forgiveness. Compassion. As a matter of fact, I would make the argument that with true, full compassion, there is no forgiveness. There's simply not a need for it. It begins with humility. It begins with letting go of the negative feelings towards them without the need of forgiving them. The idea being that developing compassion for those who hurt you may help you move beyond the negative feelings and beliefs that their actions generated in you. And as a bonus, actually, intentionally extending compassion to a person who has wronged you can actually lead to new life lessons which will aid you in becoming an even more compassionate person. I'd make the argument that it is compassion, not forgiveness. It's compassion that makes it possible for most of us to successfully let go of injustices that we have experienced. We all need to learn to feel compassion unconditionally by planting the seed and letting it grow. It won't be complete and whole until we learn to experience compassion for all, regardless of whether they have the same skin color, beliefs, nationality, race, education, socioeconomic statement, or anything else. We need to learn that we are more united than we think, and that compassion brings us about more cooperation and more balance, rather than the resentment and superiority that can come with forgiveness. A healthy spiritual community is not a divided community, but a united one where people have compassion towards all the members of the community. And keep in mind, unconditional compassion does not mean forgetting the negative thing that happened. It means we understand more fully the root of the problem, which should lessen the feelings of hurt and rejection. Because we begin to realize it is less than personal than we might have originally thought. And even better news is that the personal outcome of unconditional compassion looks a great deal like the personal outcome of unconditional forgiveness. And because of it, it should result in the same physical and psychological health benefits. Most importantly, within a spiritual community, unconditional compassion is probably the single most determining factor in how outsiders and new members see the health of a community. And the health of the community is one of the single most determining factors in their interest in being part of a community. Speaking of the unity of a community, we are going to enjoy communion together for those who would like. This is a table where we do express full compassion, that we do serve each other as a way of reminding ourselves that in our lives we are to be a service to each other, that we are to show compassion, and that we are to show love and wholeness and unity. At this table, we are unified. As the bell rings, I'll invite you to come forward as you are ready. Now is your opportunity to respond to the theme for today or the talk. Are there those who would like to share your thoughts or perspective?
I'm David, and I thank you very much for your comments. And there's two parts of it that I'd like to emphasize. One of them is that you can't always be sure that if you're having a party that you're aggrieved at, you can't always be sure that they actually understand that they did anything.
Right.
So if you say, if I'm going to meet you halfway, they say, what are you talking about? What
right.
happened? I didn't do anything.
Absolutely.
The other one is, as long as you're carrying this around, you're putting your bodily energy into being hurt or grieved or mad,
mm-hmm.
and that's just a waste of your energy.
Yes, it is.
I mean, that goes along with your thing about the longer life. In other words, you can say, well, I'm just going to, I don't want to waste my energy doing that. I don't want to waste my energy being mad at so-and-so because it's my energy. They don't even care.
It's true.
Thank you, Mark. I really appreciated that. I almost hit a mailbox this morning and distracted and at the last second saw it and missed it, and I looked up and said, thank you, Angel. Evidently, the sermon today is one I need to hear. So I appreciate that. I, too, was one that was concerned about negativity in the meeting and thought that forgiveness was the way. But compassion is much stronger than that. And we do sometimes need to take into account the person's background and that they handled it the best they knew how. And then I think once you can make that turn, you can begin to see the person in a different light. You know, who am I? I might have fouled it up more. You know? Thank you.
I'm Caroline. I thought about this for a very long time because I, too, struggle with forgiveness and forgiving of myself. But the hardest thing I have to do is accept people for who they are, even though I might not like it. They are who they are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Yes, I've struggled with forgiveness, too. And it's a tough one. I have, I brought with me a poem. A friend of mine came to visit yesterday in the afternoon. She had been to an Episcopal diocese meeting in Winston-Salem where they, among other things, read this poem, and I wanted to share it with all of you. It's called Calling All Grandmothers. We have to live differently, or we will die in the same old ways. Therefore, I call on all grandmothers everywhere on the planet to rise and take your place in the leadership of the world. Come out of the kitchen, out of the fields, out of the beauty parlors, out of the television. Step forward and assume the role for which you were created, to lead humanity to health, happiness, and sanity. I call on all the grandmothers of Earth and every person who possesses the grandmother spirit of respect for life and protection of the young to rise and lead. The life of our species depends on it. And I call on all men of Earth to gracefully and gratefully stand aside and let them, let us do so. This is by Alice Walker, who also wrote a book called Hard Times Require Furious Dancing.
Are there others who would like to make comments? Or right here, we have a couple more.
I just like to thank the Lord for forgiving me.
Right here.
It's interesting that this morning before I came, I was reading from a book, Radical Acceptance, and the emphasis is on compassion for ourselves. And so, you know, the better we feel about where we are, et cetera. And, of course, that calls on reaching for higher power or support, however you see that, et cetera. When we feel held by a caring presence, by something larger than our small, frightened self, we begin to find room in our own heart for the fragments of our life and for the lives of others. The suffering that might have seemed too much can awaken us to the sweetness of compassion.
Lovely. Thank you for sharing that. Others, thoughts or responses? Mark in the back, all the way in the back.
I love getting my exercise early in the morning.
It's been a few years since anything's penetrated deep enough for me to feel like I had to say something about it. And that story just so summed up the way I feel about my relationship with Christianity. Mm. And I feel like someone who had left the kingdom and had been gone a long time and really wasn't looking to come back. And I've been working in this place for 11 years now, and I've come to peace with a lot of the things that I felt like I had been a failure at, or that I had should be ashamed of, or and I feel like that in the story, the king sends out his minister or spokesperson and says to tell the son, you come as far as you come and I'll meet you there. But I kind of feel like that in my experience, things haven't quite happened that way. I feel like that maybe the minister has said, the king is willing to come this far and draw a line, and you come as far as you can, but the gap is so wide that the king and the son can't even see each other. So that's kind of where I feel like I'm at, that I may have come as far as I can come, and that the king maybe has been misrepresented, I don't know, but that the spokesperson has said, this is where the king will meet you. Mm-hmm. And there's a wide gap between the two. And that's kind of the way I feel now.
I think that's very insightful, actually, that is how it gets practiced the most. And that's not what that story of forgiveness was, that there wasn't a line. The king said, I'll come as far as I have to come. That's a great, great point. Others, yeah, go right ahead.
Hello. Have you guys read the book The Shack?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, there's a lot in that book about forgiveness. You know, the main character has someone he needs to forgive. But one of my favorite lines from that book is when the character of Jesus, you know, the way they have him portrayed, he's talking to the man and he's explaining how he would walk any path to meet us, like, you know, as people, and so he goes and lists various religions, like, you know, whether it's Christianity, Buddhism, et cetera, I will walk any path to meet you. And I remember that very much spoke with me, you know, when I was reading that book, is, you know, I tend to have a lot of interfaith beliefs, you know, my personal belief is that, you know, we're all seeking the same thing, just maybe in a slightly different way, but it just really hit home to me that, you know, wow, Jesus, you know, what Christianity is formed on, you know, would walk any path to meet me, even if it's not his own path, and that just really, you know, spoke to me.
That's a good callback. I like that. Are there others?
I wanted to share a brief story.
Please.
I had grown up with a very loving family, but had a babysitter that was very abusive, female sexual abuse. And so when I was older, and my brother knew about it because he was forced to watch. So when I was older, I just couldn't get that place in my heart right with her. And my brother certainly was unable to forgive her at all because I'm the baby sister. He was the older. So I flew to her home to where she was living and asked for a meeting. We sat down. I told her that I was still unable to forgive her for the abuse. And she said, "What abuse?" So she had forgotten it completely. It had been completely blocked from her mind. So we discussed it in detail. And she wept, and it caused her to understand why she treated her children so poorly. She had actually grown up in a family where she was moved from place to place because she was not the my aunt's husband was not her father. So she was moved from family to family so that she could sort of stay out of the way, basically. So she grew up in a very unloving environment, and so she put that hatred on me, because I was a very loved child. So that caused her to sort of release and understand why she treated her own children so poorly, changed all of that, renewed her life. So when I listened to the message about beyond forgiveness, I think it's not just living in compassion, because, you know, that's sort of in me. I'm a compassionate soul. But the forgiveness was necessary for her so that she could be released from some of those bondages and demons, if you may, that were holding her from being a loving person. And now she is the most loving person that you can imagine. There is no one more loving than this particular cousin today.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Are there any others? If not, I'll turn it back over to you.